City Limits, Winds of Change is a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media, and is funded in part through generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation, the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, National Grid, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
For too long, marginalized communities have been the victims of racial injustice. Stories left untold.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Problems left unchanged and promises left unfulfilled.
We're marching to be seen, we are marching to be heard, and we continue to march for change.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Scott Willis. Transportation is something most of us take for granted. I've tackled this topic in previous episodes of City Limits. Want to run an errand or two? You'll probably hop in the car. Going to work? Grab the keys. A few of us may choose to walk or bike. But for those without a car and not within walking or biking distance of where they need to go, there's public transportation. In central New York, that's Centro. City residents make up most of its passengers, and most are from Black and Brown communities. 75% of passengers live below the poverty line. In this episode of City Limits, Winds of Change, we explore how those communities are served and growing momentum for one idea that could improve accessibility and efficiency for everyone.
I'm waiting for the 1054 bus here at South Ave and West Brighton Avenue, heading to OCC. Now there is an express route to OCC, but you have to catch that at the hub.
I chose the South Avenue bus for a reason. On its way to OCC, it swings through much of the South Side, home to mostly Black and Brown residents. Poverty here has been long documented, and studies show households have less access to a car. The route is also included as part of a proposed bus rapid transit plan that's starting to gain some traction. The BRT was part of the Syracuse Metropolitan Transportation Council's Smart Phase 1 study from 2018. Megan Vitale is Principal Transportation Planner.
We looked at households with no vehicles. We looked at households in poverty. We looked at the demographics in those corridors. So that is documented in the SMART study. You know, and I think overall, we were trying to come up with a proposal for an enhanced transit system, which turned out to be bus rapid transit, and to look at, you know, where ridership currently is highest, serving the populations that have high needs, and also connecting those institutions and employers along the route as well.
The route looks like a big X over the city. Imagine one corridor running roughly from Eastwood, then along South Ave to OCC. The other connects the Regional Transportation Center and Destiny USA to University Hill, with both lines intersecting at the downtown transit hub.
Typical BRT overlays some existing route structures. We've already got buses going from Eastwood down James Street. Everybody knows that. You see them every day. And they make very frequent stops. The difference with the BRT is they make less frequent stops, but they run more frequently.
Centro CEO Brian Schultz.
So you're going to have somebody that might want to stick with the regular route service. They're okay with 35 or 40 minute headways because the bus stop is right in front of their apartment building or their home, and they're fine with that. Versus if they want the faster service, where you're getting down to 15 to 18 minute headways, they might have to walk three blocks to get to their bus stop because the bus stops are very specific. You're not going to be on a BRT and approach a regular central bus stop and pull the cord and have the bus driver stop. It doesn't work that way. So the benefit of BRT is because it's running on that access and very frequently, it does improve access to all members of the community.
That extra foot traffic around the larger BRT pickup points could also be a boost. Peter Sarver is with the Alliance of Communities Transforming Syracuse, or ACTS, and is convener for the Moving People Transportation Coalition. He says transit-oriented development is a national trend that he'd like to see happen here to lift struggling communities and their residents.
New businesses, for instance, from Eastwood to OCC along the South Avenue corridor. Not only businesses, but housing could accommodate that and help with the revitalization of that particular part of the city that has suffered from neglect.
SMTC Executive Director James DiAgostino says the need for more efficient transit in the proposed corridors is well established in their study.
We go through areas that have higher proportions of minorities and lower income individuals. What I think that is good about this project is that it doesn't just connect them to nothing. It connects them to educational opportunities. It connects them to medical institutions. It connects them to entry-level job opportunities, be it at Destin USA or at the hospitals or things on the Hill.
And when we look at demographics within these areas, for most planning analyses, we look at anywhere from a quarter mile to a half mile of these proposed routes.
Mario Colon is SMTC's program manager.
Now, for those who may not live within that quarter mile or half mile, Central's existing services are quite extensive within the city of Syracuse. What they do offer is still a quick time point if you can get to, say, the existing transit hub down at Salina Street and Adams. And now you could then pick up the route and go into the Eastwood, up to the Hill, out to OCC or up to Destiny.
But there's concern that options for the last leg of a trip to a workplace, for example, might not be that readily available, especially outside of the proposed bus rapid transit routes. Peter Sarver with ACTS says there should be an eye toward expanding the system.
Will there be transportation alternatives for that last mile, whether it's actually 1 mile or 5 miles? If a city resident is trying to get into a job situation in the suburbs, this has become a critical problem.
Remember how I hopped on the bus at South Ave in Brighton? I made it to OCC in about 10 minutes with a stop in between. On the return trip, I waited at the bus stop with student Mondell Du.
Do you live in the city of Syracuse? Or?
Yeah.
Or what side of town?
I live on the north side near Destiny USA Mall.
Oh, okay. So you catch the bus from here all the way home now?
Yes.
So about how long does it take to get from here today to your home at, in near Destiny?
I would say about 30 minutes.
From now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you don't have access to a vehicle at home?
I mean, sometimes my brother drops me off if he's available.
But the bus works well in the meantime?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
A look at the Central bus schedule shows travel time from OCC to the north side would take about 45 minutes after a quick transfer at the hub. Under a rapid transit route, that time might be cut by half or even more and bring it closer to the time and convenience of a single occupancy vehicle. So what will it take to set up BRT in Syracuse? After all, the SMTC's James DiAgostino says Albany has had a similar route for years and is now entering a third phase expansion.
I think that there's not a lot to convince in terms of the viability of it. I think everyone gets that. All my communications with the city are very positive on making this happen. The sticking point always comes down to money, just like 99% of everything else that government touches. How are you going to build it? How are you going to operate it?
Central has always taken the position that we're not against BRT in any way. That's our job, is to provide more frequent service. You know, we'd love to do it. On the capital side, we could probably get the federal dollars to do the capital piece. It's the operating side and coming up with $8 to $9 million a year.
Central's Brian Schultz says the initial capital layout would be about $33 million to cover the cost of a dozen additional buses, new shelters and stops, and what's called signal prioritization to hold green lights for the buses. Syracuse area representative John Katko has asked Congress for about $15 million, which should cover one of the two proposed routes. It's fairly well known that fares alone don't begin to cover the costs of sustaining the service, even without the addition of something like BRT. And elected officials at the state and federal levels allocate transit funding based on political and budget wins. But DiAgostino with the SMTC says it's past time to change our mindset about how we look at public transportation.
Transit is not generally a profit-generating item any more than roads are, but we view roads differently. I mean, we feel free to put our tax dollars into roads to make them usable for the community. But yeah, I hear people say at meetings, well, transition pay for itself. Okay, but roads don't, bridges don't. If you want to consider it a viable form of transportation as an alternative for the public, you have to make it as accessible as everything else.
But that barrier might be starting to come down. Centro and the SMTC were recently invited to join a meeting of Mayor Ben Walsh's Syracuse Surge Executive Committee to learn more about bus rapid transit. Schultz says Walsh has even made it a campaign issue and mentioned it in his State of the City address.
Reliable and affordable transportation is a barrier that keeps people from getting jobs. That's why I believe so strongly that we need a bus rapid transit system in the city of Syracuse. BRT systems improve the frequency and reliability of public transportation.
He talks about it frequently. The city wants to help us get funding. We've never had that before. We never had city government take an interest like it is right now in public transportation.
For now, the BRT proposal is contained within the city, where it's likely to get the most use. But what about future expansion to include key suburban locations or workplaces? SMTC Principal Transportation Planner Megan Vitale says, as of now, it doesn't seem likely.
We did a non-rider survey, which was mailed to 10,000 addresses. Very few of the respondents to that survey said that they would consider taking transit, no matter what we did. You know, there was a question that kind of said, what are your concerns about the transit system right now? And then the next question said, if those things were addressed, would you take the bus? And most people said no. So, you know, we do hear comments about why doesn't bus rapid transit proposal serve some of the suburban nodes in the community. And again, we're really trying to focus on where this bus rapid transit has the greatest likelihood of success.
But it's clear that momentum is growing for BRT in the city, where there's the most need and demand.
One of the things you always hear people say is that we have a poverty problem, and that's not a secret. It's been documented nationally. So there is no silver bullet to a poverty problem. It's a collection of small pieces to try and solve. I think this is one of those pieces that can do that. You give people who have less access to jobs and education and healthcare a reliable public transit system that you don't have to figure out how to read a schedule. You don't have to worry about that with the bus rapid transit. It's like a subway system. You go there, you wait 15, 20 minutes, you get on the bus. It's guaranteed.
Because of the excitement and the way people are talking about it now, especially the elected officials, you know, I really think BRT went from, are they going to do it, to a, when are they going to do it? You know, so when you looked at that study back in 2018, you know, I think there was more, I don't want to use skepticism, but maybe a little skepticism that, you know, can they really pull this off? Now I think it's more of a, all right, well, when is it going to start? And if somebody were to ask me that question and I can secure the funding today, we can have BRT on the road inside of 2 years. I'd say 18 months, but definitely within 2 years.
And who knows, a congressional earmark or broader state or federal infrastructure legislation just might be what BRT needs to take off in Syracuse. For City Limits, Winds of Change, I'm Scott Willis.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org. And subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.